using her skills as a licensed mental health counselor, Dr. Lisa helps people live happy, fulfilling lives full of creativity and excitement. Do you believe that each person has a unique personality that needs to be explored in order to maintain a satisfying and successful life? Good, because the doctor is in.
Hello again. This is Dr. Lisa Blanchfield. I am talking with you today on a very special day, which I didn't realize until I woke up and realized why I love Facebook so much, is I have my memories. And today is my 2-year anniversary since I started my podcast. And that's a big deal to me. I always want to thank Frank Sasso because he is the new Pod City owner and genius that started his company with his wife. And I have always been grateful because he introduced the idea of a podcast to me, which I had no idea how to even get involved. But I'm so grateful to him and New Pod City. And the idea came because obviously I'm a good talker. And I think that in a way I can tell stories, which sometimes can become bothersome, especially for my children. There's a saying that if you're starting to talk with or have a discussion with an Irish person, don't expect it to be a short story. It's going to be a long one. So I have so many stories and I think so many ideas and my family history, but not only that, my career working in the psychological field, all the jobs that I've had, all of that becomes pretty interesting, not so much as to what I've done, but all the stories that I can relate from the people that I've met and their stories and their pain and what they felt. So I'm grateful that I can actually share that with everybody. So today I was thinking to talk about, even though it's a happy day for me, I'm celebrating my anniversary of 2 years with my podcast. I thought about loss and grief a lot over the holidays, mainly because for most people, they are still focusing on the world news and the Middle East, Palestine and Israel are still at war. Ukraine, the country of Ukraine, has a war still going on. There's mass destruction. We've had all kinds of floods and fires and earthquakes. So death is always a topic that I think we need to talk about. Loss and grief is obviously something that happens after a sudden death or a long-term illness. And I think we have to do better at it. So I work with a lot of people with loss, and it's not only death, it's loss of a family, loss of a marriage, loss, sometimes the children are estranged. We have loss of income, jobs, neighborhoods, we move. So we're in a constant state of change in our world. And so I think this topic is not only about death, or death of a loved one or losing a loved one. It's also about all the tragedy that we go through, which then incurs our loss and grief. That's what comes next. So I was speaking with one of my best friends, Elaine, and she reminded me to listen to Anderson Cooper's new podcast, All There Is. And so I listened to that and it reminded me of my favorite quote. Stephen Colbert is his guest on his latest episode about loss and grief. But years ago, I think it was 2019, Anderson Cooper and Stephen Colbert, they actually had another discussion about losing loved ones. And what they talked about was, at that time, I think Anderson Cooper was bringing up the subject because he lost his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt. And what Stephen Colbert was explaining to Anderson is that in his opinion, with his experience with grief, he feels that it's a gift from God. So there is a quote, Tolkien, what punishments from God are not gifts. It's a gift to exist, and with existence comes suffering, and there's no escaping that. So what they talk about in that podcast, and which I truly believe in, is that we can turn our loss into a gift, which is basically trying to be grateful. It's not a good feeling when you're there going through the motions of suffering when you lose someone you love, but we have to be grateful in many ways for how it happened, where it happened, grateful for everything in our life, our support system, possibly who's getting us through the suffering, and to really acknowledge it with someone that you are going through it, and to think of it in a more positive way. So we have to list our gifts. And I know it's difficult when you've lost a loved one because it doesn't look positive at all. No one can say, thank you for letting this happen to me. We all would want, for example, our parents to live with us till the day we die, but we know that's not possible. We lose them. And so I also have gone through a couple losses, some tragic events in the last couple months. I received a phone call from my cousin in Washington, D.C., that my first cousin, Billy Holleran, passed away in Washington, D.C. He was on his way to a conference to receive an award as a journalist, and he had a massive heart attack in front of the building, the Spy Museum, where he was going in to receive the award. And so I went to Maryland to be with my cousins, and that was personal loss as well, but I was there for them, and the grief and the pain and the suffering, because it was so sudden. He went to work one day. He went to his presentation or to his conference or his normal day, and his wife said goodbye to him, and he called her when he wasn't feeling well, and she did have a phone call with him before he passed away, but the shock of what happened, and of course then comes the suffering. So I went through that, and so grief is like right there, it comes back. So every time we have a loss, I attribute it to a scar, a cut, and then a scar, and then it heals. And then when you face another loss, it reopens. So you're there and you're with your loved ones and you're going through the memorial service, but it's every other loss comes back. And I see that with my clients. I saw it with my patients I worked with in the skilled nursing facilities. It wasn't just that loss of that day. It would be the loss of their entire, all the losses of their entire life. So what happens is it kind of snowballs into this bigger feeling of devastation, which then can turn into depression, anxiety, eating disorders, substance abuse. Things come into play when we realize that we've had this great loss and we're experiencing it, but we really don't know how to deal with it. So we start to think about all the other losses. We start to go back to that place where we were at the time of another loss. And I had had so many experiences with death when I worked in the skilled nursing facility. I worked in all the boroughs in New York City. We don't call them counties. And I worked in 7 different facilities in the 8 years that I worked inpatient. And you can imagine we had patients with kidney disease and renal failure and diabetes and heart issues. And so we would lose patients. We would just literally have a relationship with a patient as their therapist. They would have hospice care and go through the dying process with them. And then typically you would have this friendship and then they would be gone. But I have so many memories of so many days of things happening in those facilities, you could imagine. But the one that stands out to me, and it always comes back to me, and I thought about how I dealt with this, was my favorite patient. And everyone knew she was my favorite because we were called the Gemini twins because she was born on the same day as me in June. And so we shared a birthday. I was her therapist for years. One day I was late, which I'm a typically late person. I came flying into the facility. I went right past the nursing station because I thought I knew I had to see her. She had asked me to see her first thing that morning. So I run past. Here comes another long story, as my kids would say. And I go down the hall. There's no sign on the door, no indication anything's wrong. And I opened up the door and she was there in a black body bag. And I thought I was in a nightmare. So I shut the door. And then I thought, no, I did just see that. So I opened the door again. And then the nurse came and she said, I'm so sorry, Dr. Lisa. We tried to tell you. We were going to call you. We know she's your, you know, bestie. We know she's your twin. They had all these names for us. They used to call us sisters. And of course, she was a difficult patient. She had severe mental illness. So they were calling me all the time about her and what she was doing, her behavior. So they stood with me. And I remember thinking how they shared that with me because I had to get through the rest of the day. I can't just go home. I can't just say, oh, well, that happened. Oh, well, she's gone. And so I remember how that nurse was so caring to me. And she worked with her too, but I don't think she worked, you know, taking care of her. There were always arguments about her medication. There was a lot always going on with this patient. So she was there for me. And I remember thinking that's how I got through the rest of my day. Because these sudden deaths, I think accidents, Stephen Colbert talks about on the podcast how he lost his family members, three of them in a plane crash. So one day they're there, one day they're gone. Working in New York City, in all the boroughs, you meet people every day. I did anyway, who were somehow affected by September 11th of 2001. And recently, I had contact with a new client. I became in contact with him, and he started to tell me his whole life story, his family history. I was paying attention. I was listening. But the way he presented this to me, he said, my father died on September 11th. So September 11th now, after 22 years, is a day that if you could be born on that day, you could die on that day. I have a grandson, thank God, born on that day. But it's still not like how he presented it, not like I thought it was meaningful. So I said, oh, your father died just this past September 11th? Well, he looked at me and I thought, oh, that was the wrong question. So he said, no, my father 22 years ago went to work at Cantor Fitzgerald and he never came home and we never saw him again. We never received his remains. My father died in the building in the World Trade Center. So then I thought, okay, here we go. This is the experience of loss and grief. And he brought the whole memory back and, of course, was extremely emotional. And I felt so bad because I didn't expect that because I don't know. It's been so many years that when you meet someone who's lost someone in the tragedy, I still meet firefighters and police officers and rescue workers and people who were taking care of the victims or who were working at the site, who now have all kinds of psychological trauma. They have PTSD. They have all kinds of physical issues as well. And those people I understand, they come to me and say, you know, I have PTSD from my experience in the World Trade Center tragedy. So we never know when it's going to come to us. Like it just comes. And then I remember thinking for him, how did you lose your father? He's 40. So he was 18, 22 years ago. So that was the biggest part of his story, right? That he lost his father. So I started to do my spiel on what punishments from God are not gifts. He really didn't have any positive thing to say except the suffering of his mother, himself, his sister. His mother has never recovered. I did meet his mother. She's a lovely person. She had the major loss of her husband and father of her children. So these sudden deaths, like the massive heart attack with my cousin, I think it's a different type of grief because you're in shock. So you have to first go from shock to, yes, it really happened. We go through the stages of grief. We all know what those are. You're in shock, disbelief. But I think coping with the loss and the grief is where I come in because we have to know how to get somebody through it. So when you share in your heart what's really affected you in such a traumatic way, we take a piece of it and we give it to someone else. And that's really, truly what I tell people is wrong with me. I've had people say, now I know what's wrong with you. When I explain my work and all the different jobs I've had and all the places I worked at the Family Assistance Center for 9/11 services, I came to New York City and I worked with the families and we went on the boats down to what they call Ground Zero till now. And it was the cemetery for their relatives. And I went with them. I've talked about this before during my 9/11 tribute that I had to go with these families to support them. And we had a priest who did the whole memorial service at the every day that I went down to Ground Zero. We did it for the families as if it was a funeral because they didn't have a body. So I went through that. That was 22 years ago. It was helpful because then I look at the losses in my life and I was so grateful. I've always been grateful that I haven't had to go through an extreme tragedy, right? Because the people that have, that I work with and I try to support, it's devastating. And they're not all resilient, right? Resiliency is something that comes at certain times in our life. Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. So those are my stories of all my loss. I did lose my father. I went through that. Sometimes when you go through the whole process of cancer, the diagnosis, the suffering, the pain, and I was there when he passed away, that was a gift because it was very quick. He didn't suffer as much as most people do. I saw that he had a full life. He was grateful. He was 80 years old, 80 years of life. Can you imagine? So this is the theme, that we're supposed to be grateful for the time we had, the experiences we had, the memories, the pictures. I have pictures all over. My son has pictures all over his family room. We keep all those memories alive. But when you think about a gift, I know we can get a gift, a Christmas gift. It's very emotional. My son gave me a gift for Christmas that was a t-shirt with a picture of my children and my grandchildren, and gifts can go either way. Of course, I got emotional. I started to cry, and he said, "Why are you crying? You don't like the shirt?" I said, "No, it's a picture of my kids and my grandkids, and it's a memory I'll always have." So gifts actually can make us happy. Of course, if we don't like the gift, it's hard. Some people are hard to please. You give them a gift at Christmas, and it's wrong, and then you have to return it. But if we think of death as a gift, the loss as an experience, be grateful for what we have, it is more therapeutic and compassionate, I guess, than just talking about not having that person. What am I going to do? Now, some loss is devastating financially, of course, and sometimes people lose homes and valuables because that person could have been the primary worker. That person could have been the support person. There's all kinds of devastation that comes with death, but we also have to look for support. So one of the transformative things I do with people who are going through loss is I have to ask them, how do you feel right now? Of course, we've got to make sure they're breathing and they're eating and they're sleeping because all of those things will contribute to a healthy healing process. But also, how are you feeling right now? Sometimes we don't touch those feelings. We say, oh, let's just put it away. We're going to get through the preliminary shock and then we're going to plan the funeral. I know with my cousin, they had to wait 2 weeks because he passed away in Washington, D.C., and there were special arrangements that had to be taken care of. So they delayed his service for at least 3 weeks because they had to go through autopsy. It was a death that wasn't planned, obviously, and it happened at a national museum. So there were some stipulations that went into the process of setting up the service. But typically, we just go straight to planning, and then we don't think about how we feel. So sometimes it's fear, because what we think about is we've just lost a person that was our support, and our fear comes into play. So we have to work on that. How fearful are you? What are you afraid of? What are you scared of? I think that when you discuss this situation, your life changed. So part of grief is change. So now your life changed. The person is no longer there. You didn't expect it. You didn't plan it. I guess when there's disease, cancer, renal failure, you have a lot of time to think about it and plan it. But I know for my cousin in particular, they really weren't ready. He was 71, and that's young for us. And so how we look at it and the nature of healing from grief is really what I try to use in my counseling and in my support for someone, because we need to think about not only the pain of the loss, because it's there. We all know the pain, but it's the reality of it, the aftermath of it. What are we going to do with this? And then that's when the self-care, self-protection, trying to create a new world without that person. We have to remain calm. Some people go into such a state of panic, they have to be medicated. I know you know people like that. When the death comes, it's like, where's the Xanax? Because it's just too much to overcome. And I think people go into a state of shock. So we have to go day by day, one step at a time. I think that the younger the person is, and it's sudden, is extreme. I have a group of friends now who are going through a death of a 55-year-old. It was an accidental death in the Hamptons. Life was perfect. Everything was beautiful. And it was an accident. He was hit by a car and killed. Those thoughts of him alive 1 minute and then passed on the next put everyone into shock and disbelief. And they're not functioning. So sometimes we can't function. We have to get through our self-care. And sometimes I tell people just eat, sleep. If you have to take something to calm down, you'll have to do that. But try not to do more than that. Because when you try to go back to your routine, when you've been through a shock or a death or something that's extremely difficult emotionally to get through or psychologically, you've got to just take care of yourself because you have to make decisions. You have to go on with your life. And the value of the experience of losing that loved one will be coming to you if you're feeling better, if you're healthy. If you can't sleep and you can't eat and you're having physical symptoms of panic and anxiety and depression, then you have to obviously be evaluated and then work through it with a therapist or a counselor. So I find this to be an important topic this time of year. Sometimes we have more loss in a short amount of time and we go through it. But the healing process can only start when we acknowledge our pain. Try to look at it in a positive way. Be grateful for the time you had with the person. Be grateful what age they passed. My dad, he had a life of 80 years, so very, very important life. And so I think about that and what I have to keep with me, the memories and who he was as a father and as a person, rather than I lost him at when he was 80. And I was 50. So we can't always have the situation turn out the way we want. We wish it could in life, but life is constantly changing. So that's what I wanted to talk with you about. As always, if you have questions or you'd like to get in touch with me, my Instagram account is DrLisa21. Dr. Lisa Blanche. I'm all over everywhere and I never know what my names are, but it's either Lisa Blanchfield on Facebook. You can find me. Just Google me. There are a couple things you'll see of how to reach me. And again, thank you so much to New Pod City, Frank Sasso, and the entire team. And just remember when something tragic happens and try to flip it around in the best way possible. So it was great talking with you and I will see you soon.
You've been listening to Dr. Lisa's World. Be sure to visit her Facebook page at Dr. Lisa's World.